Just talking about this book, here, let me just read you something from it. The Father challenges our thinking constantly, causing us to come into a place where we need to change. For if we always do what we've always done, we'll always get what we've always got. The kingdom of heaven is so much about exchange. Exchanging what you have for what he has. What exists in heaven. When that happens, you're bringing heaven to earth. You are causing his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I just have only a few copies of these left. I'm going into Wyoming and I've got another reprint done that I'm picking up. So that's about all I have left completely in Australia that I brought here. Can I just let me just chat with you just for a few minutes about some things? Is that all right? I had talked with Brad and some other leaders the other night, and I just want to just share very briefly, not into detail because that's up to them to begin to talk more about that. But I just want to say that in coming to this church, I've been coming for a number of years, and I love coming here. I really have grown to love to come to Columbus and come to this church, and I love it because I have friends here. And it's coming to be with friends and to hang out with friends. It's not just coming to do a preach. It's not just coming to do ministry as a guest speaker. It's like, you know, it's like coming home. So I have really something special in my heart for this church and for this location. And what I really have felt the Lord showing me prior to even coming here is that there's been a real season for you as a church to be what I would call hidden. And it's for a reason that that's been a time of hiddenness. But I really felt like the Lord saying that that time of hiddenness is really coming to a conclusion. And that it's going to be time when he is actually going to bring you into a time and a season that's going to be for a very much longer season where you will be very much more, the only way I could say is more exposed or more I don't know, anything else to say, that more out there. And one of the things that you're going to discover is that this service of what on this gathering together, which is great and wonderful, I always love it, and I love it, is not the destination. Okay, it's the place that you launch from. And that what's going to happen in the next season is that you're going to become far more involved in the life of Columbus in a daily basis that's not focused on just bringing everybody on a Sunday, though that will still be very vital and very important. And the thing that strikes me the most is what the Father wants to develop in this community of people, which I don't really see it in too many other places, as strongly as I see it here, that he wants to develop what I would call a prophetic community. Right? So you understand what the prophetic is. Prophetic is really hearing from God, being able to be able to deliver that. But there's lots of ways that you can hear from God. There's all sorts of ways and all sorts of creative ways too. You can do creative things that are very prophetic. So I think that what I'm really strongly feeling is this prophetic community that God wants to do. But I don't feel like it's weird I feel like it's very powerful and it's very very real, a very very supernaturally natural. Right, so it's the feeling in this whole place, and it is like a very strong community, a prophetic community, and I think that that's the sort of thing that God's been establishing in some grounding that's going to enable you to be strong on that. So it won't be like in places you go to, you can, well, in places I go to in churches, there may be a few people that are sort of prophetic people, but it's not often that you find a culture of people like that. And those of you who are, that's great, and those that you aren't, you can easily step into it. So, you know, I could talk a lot more about that because, you know, heaven's meant to be on earth. It's good, Mike. Really good. It's okay, I just encourage myself. Well, if you're not going to do it, I may as well. I think somebody said just a moment ago about joy, and that's what we're going to see some more of today. We had a prophetic training school yesterday, as you heard. It was really good fun. It's good. Derek, I told you yesterday about you've got some masterpieces in you. Right? So I'm going to tell you one more time. Okay? I'm going to tell you one more time that you need to start. Okay? Just get some crayons and draw something. No, I mean, seriously, I said it to you yesterday in sort of in passing, but, you know, I'm really convinced there's some masterpieces in you to come out. I feel like they're locked up. And I don't mean they're locked up in a bad sort of a bondage sort of a way, but they're locked up, but they've got to come out. And the only way they're going to get out, you know, is by you developing your confidence that they can come out. But they are in there, and God's put them in there, right? So it is your ability, but it's not entirely just your ability. Like the things that he's put in you that will come on out. Now, why don't you talk to me after this service about that? Because I have something that may be able to even help you. May not. But the point that I want to make to you is there are masterpieces in you of paintings, drawing, pictures that God wants to bring out, right? They're locked up in you waiting for you to access it, waiting for you to start, okay? Now, don't be thinking too big because that'll keep them locked up. So, like I said, just get some crayons and just start drawing something. You know, just start a little bit and let Holy Spirit actually to develop, and I'm going to try not to say that to you again. So, see, when you have a prophetic word that comes a couple of times, right, it usually means that God, you know, I mean, God is highlighting something, but he'll just do that for so long. Okay? You know, he's tremendously patient with us. And he'll keep doing that for us. But there'll come a time if you resist that it will. Anyway, you know, you got it. I'm just trying to reinforce that a little bit. Is it Laurie? Okay. That's not prophetic. I wish I could say it was. but you're Renee's sister, aren't you? Okay. Well, we went to your farm, didn't we? Yeah, it's good. I see you in a... I can see you in a large living room, or we would call it a lounge room, but you know, like a living room, and you have a lot of people around you, and I see you are you're facilitating something. It's not just you sitting there and talking to them. You are sharing some things, but you're facilitating, and there's a lot of joy. There's a lot of good things going on, but there are some tears from some people. But it's really like it's an environment that you have been developing in this place for people to really be ministered to, people to be equipped, people to. And I consistently hear things like people are saying, like, we've never been in an environment like this. We've not ever had this sort of thing happen. This is amazing. This is just a wonderful time. I would not miss this for anything. That's the sort of words that I just keep, those things I just keep hearing. And I really feel like it's something that if you're already doing it, it's a confirmation. If it's not, it's something you should look to. See how that you could start that. I feel like it would start with just a few, and it would build very, very quickly. It's Ryan, isn't it? Ryan, I really have this sense that you are in a segment of your life, a season of your life that is beyond. It's like a training season time. It's not so much, it's not as strongly focused on education, but it's actually more on doing. And there are some things that you will learn or put into practice of what you've learned. But also, I really feel like the Lord just say, be prepared to look in obtaining skill sets in other areas as well. So it's like a good season time. Or a time of season where you will get a lot more training for different areas, and add to it in this season, so that it will actually cause you to become much wider than just focused in one particular area. And I see it. It's like a 10 year time or that you will go into this training. So it's really like this is the time when we should always be people who are wanting to learn and grow and all that sort of stuff. But it's a real concentrated training. But it's very much more practical than just a lecture site based. It's very much about doing. And so it's very much about learning from people, those sorts of things. And I think you're going to have some quite significantly good opportunities where you're going to come in connection with some people who have profound influence on you, and it's amazing how you got connected with them. Like it's just like you just talk about it and say, I don't know how that possibly happened, but it was God, right? It was a God connection. Okay, now it's Amber. Amber, that's right. Oh, yeah, that's right. The glory of God. Amber, the color amber in the Bible prophetically means the glory of God. So we're so glad you're here. you are going to have encounters. I think I said, yeah, so much encounters where you just see the glory of God. I just see you sitting in a chair, and you're there just sitting quietly, eyes closed, and it's just like the presence of God just fills that place, and you are lost for quite some period of time, but it doesn't seem very long. It's like you look at you come to and look up, and wow, that's been 3 hours. It's like, you know, and in those times, revelation is just going to come so clear to you, right? So you really need to have like a journal or something that you keep, especially if you sit down to do that. There'll be times when you'll just sit and just sit quietly, but there's times when you should be very intentional about just sitting and just waiting on the Lord. And just let the glory of God, and it will be very much activated when you say something just like, Holy Spirit, just come. I'm ready. And it's just going to come like that. But not only are you just going to be an experiencer of that, but you're also going to be a releaser of that as well. And a releaser of some of this, some of the revelation that you get. Okay? Judd? Hey, Judd. How you doing? I'm doing very well, thank you. You have a leadership gifting on your life. It's a leadership gifting that's like a coach. And you have this ability to be able to bring the best out of people. You have this ability to be able to say to somebody, hey, you can actually do better. You can actually, and not condemnate, but say, hey, and I'm going to help you. Come on, let's go. Let's do this. So it's a real coaching ability. It's a natural ability. But it's some areas that you're actually going to have gain quite some experience in, that whole coaching ability. That it's not a mentoring, but it's something where you give people understanding and help on how to do what they're going to need to do. It's more general as in life coaching than it is specific, but it could be in some areas where it's specifically, you know, like in a sports situation or whatever, but you've got a very strong coaching ability on you that God's put in there. It's very much about the things that you have in you, tremendously good optimism, can-do spirit, and an inspiring ability. So when you speak to people, you may not even realize it, but you actually inspire. Right? When you talk with people, they feel better for having talked with you. They feel better from having spent a bit of moments with you. And one of the things is that you don't do well with negative people. Okay, you don't do well in a negative environment because you don't want to live there. Okay, so just watch the people that you hang out with. You know, you can. I'm not saying you keep yourself completely away from those people, but don't spend a lot of time in environments that are negative like that. Spend time with people around who want to grow, who want to do something, who want to receive from you, because some of the best things that are going to come out of you is when you're actually imparting to other people, okay? Because as you give out, more is going to flow your way. And you two, like I just said a few minutes ago to Ryan, there are going to be some connections with people that you come in connection with who are going to notice you, understand you, and see the potential in you, and are going to help you to grow in who you are. And it will be like, wow, type people. You know, people who would be considered to have been people who have, you know, achieved and done quite well. They're the sort of people that you're going to get connected with, and it's going to be like a supernatural divine connection, okay? So when those things happen to you, just run with those. Like if you're given opportunity to connect with people, go connect. You know, if they say, you know, give me a call, give them a call. Chase it. Because it's going to keep feeding you. And you should also, you really need to be looking at some people who have been coach type people and read their books, read their biography. If you get around some people that you can see that these people are good coaches, talk to them and say, what makes a good coach? Like, just really draw from them, because it's going to feed what already is in you, and it's going to cause you to be able to excel in that area. Okay? And it's very much... I can just see you a few years down the track, you know, quite a number of years down, and you've got a lot of people standing around you, and those people that are standing around you have been people that you have actually raised up, the people that you've input into their life, and those people are standing taller than you. Okay, it's because of your input into their life. You know why this is a prophetic cult community? Do you know why? Because I can hardly stop myself from prophesying. it's like I keep coming. I'm going to get back. I'm going to get into what I'm going to speak about. It's like, no, let's go somewhere else. I had an inkling that might have happened, and I'm fighting a little bit because I want to share some things with you. But can you remind me of your name? Anna, that's right, Anna. Anna, you have quite a prophetic gifting that is more I would describe as a seer type thing. So when we talk about prophetic people, we have people who are much more people who see things a lot more, dreams. When they say, you know, this is what I see for you, and that's who you are, and that also means that your senses, and this is an area that's going to grow on you, is that your physical senses will also get a prophetic touch, or they operate prophetically as well. So you're going to come into time when you're going to smell a fragrance, and you're going to, where's that? And it's not. It's some fragrance of heaven. You'll even get taste. There are times that you'll feel heaven. You'll feel God. You'll feel the presence of God. Now, as I taught you yesterday, that's a really important time for you to say, okay, God, what is this, and what am I to do with it? Okay, and the more that you do that, the more that will become evident and obvious, and you'll get more used to that in your life. Okay, so it's a more of a seer type thing. Now you ought to talk to Peter, okay, about that, because he can help you a lot more with that gifting and how it works. All right, and he can even tell you some books or some things to look at. Now, I think I'm going to try and do this, and I'll just interrupt myself if I ask. I'm convinced that there is a fight going on. A fight for your destiny. A fight for your future. A fight for the plans that God has for you. The enemy's nature is to rob, steal, and kill. So he is trying to rob from people, from Christians, and particularly from us here to gather today, some things that are rightfully yours. He wants to steal futures. He wants to steal destiny. And he so often uses things like weariness and discouragement and despair and lack to bring you into a place that you will give up. Because he can't steal your destiny from you. Right? And it's his desire to do that, but he can't actually do it. But what he can do is he can... It can create things around about you that you will give up and you'll give away your destiny. You'll say, this is too difficult or this is too hard, and you'll decide not to keep going. So that's why I want to talk to you about something today that the church, in my experience, hasn't talked a lot about. In my experience, we've taught a lot. We've taught a lot about the spirit and the things that happen in the spiritual realm, and we talk a lot about, in some churches more than others, about the body, the flesh, things that you probably shouldn't be doing. But then we have the soul, and not a lot is talked about the soul. Let me tell you this story. There's a story about an old man who lived in an alpine forest high above an Austrian village. And this man had been hired by the town council to clear away the rubbish from the pools of water up in the mountains that fed the streams that flowed through their town. He was faithful, and with regularity, the keeper of the stream moved about the hill slopes and ravines, removing leaves and branches and accumulated silt that would contaminate the fresh flow of water. And truly, because this town possessed such a beautiful, clear stream, it became a popular attraction for tourists from all over the world. Years passed, and one evening the town council met for its annual meeting. As the council members looked over the budget, one council member began to question the salary being paid to the obscure keeper of the stream, just as governments tend to do. He questioned why they kept the old man year after year. Because of this council member's persistence in a general mood for saving money, the council members voted to cut the old man's services from the budget and tell him he was no longer needed. Now, for several weeks after he was dismissed, nothing happened. And the members of the council congratulated themselves on their savings for the taxpayers. By early fall, though, the trees began to shed their leaves. More branches snapped off and fell into the pools, impeding the flow of water. Rollicking rapids with sprays of white water became stagnant pools. One afternoon, somebody noticed a slightly yellowish tint in the town water. Within a few weeks, a slimy film covered sections of the water on the banks, and a foul odor was detected. Tourists to the little town soon left, and many of the residents became sick. The town council was forced to call a special meeting, and realizing their error, they quickly amended the budget, rehired the keeper of the stream, and within a few weeks the stream cleared and the little town returned to normal. You are the keeper of your stream, of your soul. Nobody else is going to do it. Now, some will have input into that, but you're the keeper of your soul. You're the keeper of your stream. Now, I want to just then flow on to just talking about us so that you understand. Now, we are made in the image of God. Genesis 1:26 says that we're made in the image of God, in the likeness of God. Now, God is a Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit exist as three but one. It's just an amazing mystery. I understand it, I believe it, but I don't understand it. And I don't think any of us will fully understand it, because if we fully understand it, we'll be God. Yeah? So it should be mysterious to us. But because we're made in His image, we are made as what are called tripartite beings. So we have three parts. We're one person, but we have three. And each of those parts have different parts. So, Peter, can you help me? Can you put these three chairs, and we'll just put them up here. Okay, so these three chairs are going to represent the three parts. So if they were stackable, they might be, but if we could put them as one and demonstrate it's one person. So you're just going to have to need your imagination that this is one person, right? Yeah? Okay. Now, the three chairs, one person. Now, in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, for lots of years, I used to talk about that we're body, soul, and spirit. And, you know, it sort of flows nice, body, soul, and spirit. And then I discovered there's a problem with that. The problem with that is that that's not how 1 Thessalonians puts it. It said spirit, soul, and body. And I figured, well, God must mean, he must have a reason for putting it in that order. And then I realized why he had a reason, why he put it in that order, is because we are spirit. And we're body, and we have a soul. But it's really important to understand that you are a spiritual being. It's a trick chair. It's amazing. I've never seen anything like it. Anyway. Yes. Sit down and it folds up. Anyway. There was a French philosopher and Jesuit priest who said it something like this back in the 1800s. He said that this is my interpretation of what he said. He said that we are spiritual beings who, having natural experiences, not a physical person having spiritual experiences, right? So we are spirits, right? We are made as spiritual beings, right? Now, it really does make a lot of difference, because if you think yourself, well, look, I'm in this physical realm, and I have these occasional spiritual experiences, just very occasional. It's not how you're made, right? Every person on this planet has a spirit. Human spirit. And when you come to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and in an instant joins with your spirit, and you become a place that the Holy Spirit is resident in. And you become a temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, like everywhere you go, you take him. Though he is everywhere. And so if you understand that I am a spirit, and I have in this body, because this body's going to pass away. Right? It's deteriorating, as much as we would like to deny it. But it will come to an end. But this is eternal. And this part here, the soul, which is also eternal, but the soul is designed by God to be a bridge between the physical realm and the spiritual realm. The soul. Sorry, I just not see anything like it. So the soul is designed by God to be a bridge from this physical realm to this realm over here. Now the soul contains the mind, will, and the emotions. Right? The mind, the thinking, feeling, choosing part of the body. Right? So this part here, the soul, is a really vital part. Now, the soul, which is designed by God to be the bridge between the physical realm and the spiritual realm, is meant to serve the body. Okay? Right? And it does really well when it serves, but it likes to be the boss. It likes to be the master. It likes to be in charge. But it doesn't do being in charge very well. Right? But it wants to be in charge. Your mind wants to think and rationalize things. And it wants to work something out before it'll believe it. It wants to see something before it'll believe it. And emotions want to be in charge. And so therefore, I don't really feel like doing that. You know, I'm just so tired. It's just too hot. It's just too cold. It's just, what else? And then the will likes to be in charge too at times, because it's like, no, we will not do that. And that's why spiritual disciplines are really, really good. You know, for instance, fasting. I was talking about fasting yesterday. You know, fasting. You know what fasting is? Yeah? Hello? You know what fasting is, you know, and there's different types of, you know, it can be like you don't eat. You know, which I've tried it a few times. I did a 40-day fast once. Oh, my goodness. And that was a long time ago, but I mean, the thing I think about fasting is I do not understand why you would call it fasting, because it goes so slow. Right? It should be called slowing. And I mean, every time I've been fasting from food, I sit down and every advertisement is about food. Every ad. All the TV programs are about food. So turn that off and I would go walking and everybody's having a barbecue. And you just smell food everywhere. And my body would keep saying, let's eat. No, I can't. Yes, let's eat. But so it's really good for training. I'll tell you what is another one. Speaking in tongues is really good for your soul. Because it says to your soul, you can't understand this. So toughen up and go on a holiday. But, so it's really, really good for your soul. But you see, your soul needs to be trained. Your soul needs to be put into its place. If you let the soul just do what it wants to do, you will have difficulties. Now, it's a really important part of your life. And we pay quite a bit of attention to either of these two here, but we don't pay as much attention to the soul as we ought to. And it's the reason why people, and particularly it's a reason why a lot of pastors get burnt out, and other people too. But, you know, I certainly know about a lot of pastors. I mean, in Australia we have 10,000. At least 10,000 burnt out pastors. And we're only a population of 23 million. And a lot of that's because they're not paid attention to their soul. Right? So I want to talk to you this morning about what the soul needs. And it's not an exclusive, it's not a total list, but it is some things that we can talk about. But before I go there, 3 John, verse 2. It's just one chapter. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health. Who wants that? So one person does. That's really... Anyway, let me say that again. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health. So who wants that? Who wants to prosper in all things? Who wants to be in health? Okay, just as your soul prospers. So it's really important for you to prosper your soul. Okay? And pay it a lot more attention than maybe you're doing. Because when your soul prospers, you're going to prosper in all things and you're going to be in health. Okay, so what's your soul need? So let's have a look at some things that your soul needs. First of all, your soul needs relationships. In Genesis, God said it wasn't good for Adam to be alone, right? And it says, he has made everything beautiful in its time and he's put eternity in the hearts, or the soul of people. That's Ecclesiastes 3:11. So God has put eternity in every person's heart. Right? Ecclesiastes, if you want to make a note of that, Ecclesiastes 3:11. Right? He's put eternity in the heart of every person. Now, one of the important things for us to know or remember and understand that God has never been alone. God has never been alone. He's always existed in relationship. He's always existed in community. The Father, Son, the Holy Spirit have always existed in community. So He just knows community. And so He only speaks out of community. He speaks out of a place of relationship. And so that when He says that He's put eternity in the heart of every person, He's put a place and a desire for community and relationship in every person. But what happens is that people, in not realizing that, okay, they try to find other things to put in their soul, other things in their heart, and they try to fill that particular void where God is meant to fit. And that's part of our role, is to help people to understand they have eternity in their heart and what it's like to come into that place of relationship. So people, you need relationship with God and relationship with one another, which leads me to the next thing, which I just said, is community. We're made for community. Your soul prospers in community. Now, I know that some people are extroverted and some people are introverted and some people like people and some people sort of endure people. You know, they more love to be on their own. But we are putting all that aside. We are made for community. We're made to have relationship in community and do community. But that requires each of us to actually work at it, right? It's something that we have to do. And then the soul needs relationship, and it needs a place of community. But as I said to you before, the soul also needs training, because it likes to be the boss. It likes to be in charge, but it needs to be put in its place. And that's why things like regularly setting a disciplined way of reading the Word of God, for instance, is important. Praying, fasting, meditation on the Word, speaking in tongues. All of these sorts of things discipline or train, because that's what discipline means, is really training. So you are training the soul. You're training the soul to be what God has designed it to be, the bridge between those two. Okay? Get it? Okay, now, there are different fuels for each of these. And so the soul needs fuel. Now, the spirit needs fuel and the body needs fuel. Now, I think it's fairly easy to understand the sort of things that this part of us would need in the body. Like, you know, food, eating, did I say food? Yeah. Like feasting, sleep, exercise, you know, all of those sorts of things. The body needs those, that's fuel. If you don't have that, you know, it's like you got problems. Now, what's the sort of fuel that you think would go in the spirit? What's the type of fuel? Intimacy with God, Word of God, praying, fellowship, worship, community with other believers hanging out, all of those sorts of things. That's going to feed that, you know. Things like, the Bible says that speaking in tongues builds you up. This is a building up that takes place. Now, you can be extremely tired and need sleep, but prophesying that you're awake is not really going to fix it. Right? I mean, you could declare how, you know, and just say, no, I'm gonna have some time with God. You know, I'm gonna fix this sleep problem. You know, and it just doesn't work. You need sleep. But you know, it's the same here. You can't put fuel that's meant here into this one here. It's just not going to work. This needs fuel that this body needs, this fuel here. So it's the same with the soul. Now, these two over here, you can really tell that the same thing for everybody, but the soul is different. Right? The soul part is different for every single person. Now, there are some common things, but it will mean more for some people. For instance, some of the things that fuel the soul, as in fuel for the soul, can be like reading a good book, relaxing, going for a walk, going to the beach, going sitting at the ocean, sitting on top of a mountain. See, for me, being around people really fills my soul tank, particularly people I know. You know, if I flew a long way to get here and I hardly talked to anybody. Like, I was like stir crazy. Like, it was really good Joshua was there to pick me up. We could talk. You know, I could spend some time with him. But see, my wife, she gets tremendously drained by that. See, I'd like to be at, you know, sitting at the ocean, watching the ocean, and it's really good if I'm there with some other people. But, you know, the ocean, you know, just invigorates me, and just the movement of the ocean and all that sort of stuff. Well, my wife Annette, she would just love to go and sit by herself looking at a mountain or on a mountain. For me, I'm bored. It's like, honey, how many photos do you need of the same mountain? It's like you've seen it once. Let's move on. Anyway, it feeds her soul. Watching a good movie, watching a funny movie can feed your soul. So your soul needs feeding. Your soul needs hope. Hope, biblical hope, is an earnest, confident expectation for good. Now, hope is the seedbed of faith, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. So your soul needs to know that your best days are ahead of you. Okay? And you got to tell your soul. Anything else that you're believing is actually a lie. So the God of hope, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you are bound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to fill you with joy and peace in believing. You know, I was again saying this yesterday. What amazes me is that the Bible is full of scriptures that talk about being joyful and rejoicing, you know, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord and it shall rejoice in his salvation. Like, it, you know, it talks about joy being a medicine, you know. It's just, there's so many scriptures. You know, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know, just on and on and on of these. And so what amazes me is that you get churches, I'm sure it's not this church, but other churches, you know, people come and respond to altar calls, and sometimes people cry, you know, tears, and people will say the Holy Spirit's on them. Wow, look what he's doing, you know, he's doing a great work. And it's good. It's good when that happens. But often in the same church, people will start laughing and they'll think it's the devil. They'll be offended by it, laughing in church. Uncontrollable laughing. So much so that you're falling on the ground and just overtaken with joy. I mean, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Shouldn't we be the happiest people? Shouldn't we be able to laugh just at the drop of a hat? You know, it's almost like, what are you laughing at? I don't know. I'm just so got so much joy. I know sometimes you've got to prime it, you know, and I would often do that when I'm teaching on joy because we're so unused to it. So I have to actually tell some funny things to get people laughing. Yeah? I was teaching last year in Wyoming in the School of Supernatural, and they started laughing without me telling anything funny, which is really wonderful. It was so fun. But the whole point about that is what happens is that joy, being filled with joy and peace, brings hope, right? And it feeds the soul. So your soul needs to laugh. Your soul needs you to laugh. Your soul needs you to laugh. Okay? So you need to start practicing laughing. And if you've got a difficulty with it, well, just go home, look in the mirror, and just start laughing. Right? Just start laughing. I'm serious about it. Just start laughing. Just start practicing. I was at some training in November last year in Reading at Bethel, and one of the guys was teaching about some of the things that we believe, and he said, let's just laugh at that lie. And so we laughed, and I'm sitting there thinking, oh my goodness, how long is, you know, like, you know, and because it felt so like, you know, and then tell another thing. Let's laugh at that lie. Laughing, and then before very long, I was almost falling off my chair, laughing, and he didn't even say laugh at it. You've got to start, and we think that we've got to have something to make us laugh, but yeah, let's just do what the scripture says. Let's just say, okay, Holy Spirit, would you fill me? Fill me with joy, fill me with peace, because I want to abound in hope. I want to abound in hope. I mean, wouldn't you want to abound in hope? Wouldn't you want to abound in hope? I mean, the word abound means that you've got plenty for you, plenty for your family, and plenty to give away. So we ought to be people that's been, you know, giving plenty away. I mean, you know, like it's time that Christians stop look like they're being baptized in lemon juice and start behaving like they've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm here to start something. I mean, besides, Kenton, you need a good laugh anyway. You know, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Being filled with joy and peace activates hope, and it activates an abundance of hope, and it activates the abundance of hope so you've got plenty to give away. Yes? Thanks, Mark. That's really good. Keep it going. All right, let me just tell you some signs really quickly of soul fatigue. Okay, one, little things seem to bother you more than they should. You know, like traffic, yeah. Somebody chewing gum. The way they eat their food. Yeah? You know, things that used to, you know, you could put up with that really trouble you. You know, like... I was going to say something about Brad, but I'll... I mean, how many times can you say we're going? Anyway, little things seem to bother you more than they should. Okay, The second thing is it's hard to make up your mind even about a simple decision. You know, what are we going to eat? I don't know. What do you think we should eat? Well, I don't know. What do you think? Where do we go? What? It's a sign of soul fatigue. It's a sign. And another sign is impulses to eat or drink or spend or crave, and you can't resist them like you normally would. So you normally find that easy to resist, but it's just like you can't resist. It's just like you just can't resist it, those impulses. Another one, a sign of soul fatigue, is that you're more likely to favor short-term gains in ways that leave you with high long-term cost. You know, like let's buy now and pay later. You know, for Israel, they were fatigued, and what happened was they grew tired of waiting for Moses and God, and they made a golden calf. And that cost them hugely because they weren't prepared to wait. What also happens with soul fatigue, or a sign of soul fatigue, is your judgment suffers. So you don't make as good decisions and you have less courage. It's another sign. You're normally courageous, but you're just a wimp suddenly. You know, you're not courageous anymore. The same disciples who fled in fear when Jesus was crucified eventually sacrificed their own lives for him. What changed? Not their bodies, but their soul changed. Okay, what to do? What to do for your soul? Okay, one of the things that you need to do to your soul is talk to it. Okay? You need to talk to your soul. David said to this, "Soul, why are you downcast? Why are you feeling like this?" I think that's quite good. It's like you're saying, "Hey, soul, you are the servant here. Why are you behaving like this?" Instead of saying, "Oh, this is how I'm doing." Like it's saying to the soul, "Soul, why are you behaving like this?" So self-talk is really good. It's really important of what you do. And Jesus looked after his soul by doing this, praying, right? Having a close circle of friends that shared life with. He engaged in regular worship. He fed his mind with scripture. He enjoyed God's creation. He took long walks. He welcomed little children, hugged them and blessed them. He enjoyed partying with non-religious types. Oh, that would have been fun. And he spent time in quiet places. He got in a lot of trouble for that. Okay. This is where I want to finish. Psalm 23 says this, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." I want to ask you a question today that I want it to ring in your ears. I want it to be in your thinking. I want it to be all around the atmosphere. When you go out of here today, I want you to hear this Aussie accent ringing in your ears, and it would say this, "Where is your green pasture? Where are your still waters? What are they?" And go there. Find out what they are. Find out what feeds your soul. Where is the green pasture? Where is the still waters for you? And go there, because when you go there, God says, "I'm now restoring your soul." Relationship with Jesus is the very first relationship, or it's the major relationship that you need to have. And then relationship with others, community. Being a part of a community like this is really important, but you need to give into it. You need to exploit that in the right sort of sense of the word. Training is really important. training your soul, feeding your soul, hope, joy. Joy is vital. But where is your green pasture? Where is your green pasture? Because in that green pasture, in and besides the still waters, is where God will restore your soul. This coming week, will you take time to restore your soul? Don't tell me you don't have time, because you do not have an option. Because if you can't find time for your soul, then you are already on the way to soul fatigue. And soul fatigue, in my observation, when the tank gets down really low, it's almost impossible to fill it back up again. It takes so much time. I've seen people who have got so burnt out that I don't even hardly recognize them. And no matter what they do, they just don't seem. It seems to take long time to fill back up that tank. Now, I'm saying to you today, you keep filling that tank and keep it up in your soul, you'll prosper in all you do. You'll be in good health, because that's what the scripture says. Your soul needs some things, okay? And it needs what I said to you today, and I'm sure you'll find some other things as well, because it's not just an exhaustive list, but find the things that really fill you up, that make you, you know, fill in that place of greatness and goodness. And have a good laugh. Kenton, I'm going to pick on you. I nearly always do when I'm here anyway. So. But I was just seeing as I was speaking just then, I saw this dial that was sort of right bang in your chest. And I saw the hand of the Father come down and start to turn the dial up a bit. And it was like, you know, turn up a bit. And I think that I feel like right now that it's not as if you hasn't been happening, because the dial's not at zero, but the dial's at a midway point. But I really feel like almost every year for a real significant chunk of time, you know, and I can really see 5 years, but I don't think that's, I mean, I know that's not the extent of it, but there is like a good turn of the dial every year for the next 5 years. So it's just going to mean a turning up. Now, that dial, I also understand, is a volume dial. So it will be that you'll get louder, but it'll also mean that you'll hear louder. You're going to perceive things louder. So the being louder is that you're going to have more opportunity to be able to share and to speak and to do things that are significant for the kingdom, but you're also going to hear clearer. You're going to hear clearer too. You're going to hear clearer. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Father. And you keep going with that joy. You're a joy imparter too. So, you know, just spread it around. Now, Carissa, I see you with a broom in your hand. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's just, it's got to be encouraging. It's got to be, yeah, yeah. So I really feel like housework is a... I saw this broom, and I really feel like one of the things that is going to become much, much more evident on your life is an ability to be able to help people sweep things out of their life that are not supposed to be there. And God's given you, and He's going to expand your insight ability, your ability to be able to know exactly what they need to let go of, exactly what they need to get healed of, exactly you've got a pinpoint accuracy that you'll be able to actually see what the issue was. And in fact, it's going to open up for you that you're going to be talking to somebody and you'll almost go right to the point where God's going to give you this sort of accuracy where you'll say something like, when you were 5 years old, something happened. And the person is just going to go like, you know, like, and it'll just unlock some things. Now, there'll be tears and there'll be all the sorts of things, but you will then bring healing to that person. And so it's like the sorts of things that you're going to be involved is very much with healing, and particularly internal, but it's going to that you will see a person go from a almost withered up person into a person that is just so vibrant and just so dramatically changed. And God is going to connect you with people supernatural. I mean, he already has done, but there's going to come an absolute increase. It's almost like it'll happen several a day. It's almost like you'll get to a point of saying, "Why? This is just too much." And yet God will give you this ability and a strength to be able to do all that you need to do, but you still have good quality time with those people. And it won't take you a long time, people. It won't sort of like take you, 10 hours with a person or 5 hours or whatever else, because you go with this pinpoint accuracy and be able to identify it, and you'll be able to put in the key, unlock it, and get them set free. It's good. You doing okay? What's your name? Yeah. Roger. Hey, Roger. It's good. You are, I just got this, I'm really going to have to explain myself, so I'll tell you what it is. I heard this word, smiling assassin. But I really feel like there's a warrior spirit in you. There's a warrior ability. But it's almost like the weapons are things like joy. It's like you defeat things with a laugh. It's like you release things into people's life by almost laughing at it, not offensively, but it's like you break things. You're like a breaker of atmospheres that are hard and tight, and you can just bring a humor, bring something into it that it just shatters it, just breaks it, and people don't even realize it. But there is a real warrior spirit in you too, also in the area of prayer and fighting for things for people too. And so you're fighting the spirit. You ought to have somebody mentoring you in that. So you should talk to one of the leaders here about, how you would go about developing that. That would be good for you to head into. All righty. Let me pray for you. Father, will you fill every person here with joy and peace so that they may abound in hope? by the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, would you minister to the souls of every person here? Would you minister to their souls? Would you minister to, you know, that part of them that you've made, their mind, their will, their imagination, their emotions? You're a restorer of souls. And would you show every person here what is their green pasture or their still waters so they can get to go there, so they can get to be at that place, so their soul gets restored. Father, I just declare that this place would be a restorer of souls. Every single person that comes here to come to a visit or come, Father God, to reside here, they would always experience a restoration of soul. They would be restored in their souls. This place would be a strong community, a prophetic community, a community of people that understand what the times and seasons are all about and what we should do about it. Father, I declare a restorer of souls, that who you are is here right now, touching souls, touching people's hearts. And I want to activate the prophetic culture that I declared today, that would be very much in here, be part of here, there would be such a confidence, there would be such a desire, there would be such a clarity, there would be such a clearness, there would be such an open heaven, there would be such portals established amongst you where there is such clear thinking, clear understanding, where the creativeness of the prophetic would be so evident in this place. So clear, so profound, so mighty. So Father, I declare those things now in the name of Jesus. Father, amen.